Good evening. This is the 9/11 and other deep state crimes teleconference for 11/22/15. And
hello.
Yeah, Greg,
are people speaking?
You broke it up
can't really hear.
Oh boy, this is tough.
Yeah, right. We can't hear you at all now, Ken.
Wait, how about now? Is it any clearer?
Yeah, now is good.
All right, I'll try it without the earphones. Okay. This is the 9/11 teleconference for 11/22/15. Ken Thrill facilitating. Craig McKee, secretary. You want to take the roll, Craig?
Sure. Well, I've got a list of people already, so I'll just read it again. Craig McKee, Ken Freeland, Roger Borys, Dave Schlesinger, Barbara Honegger, Cheryl Curtis, Wayne Beach, Don O'Malley, Ned Delaney, Wayne Cossey, Dan Hennen, Adam Syed, Sheila Casey. Did I get everybody? Sounds like it.
Yes,
so. How many names is that, sir?
That's 13.
13, yeah. Okay, well. So, with that done, let's move on to the minutes from the previous teleconference. Did you get the forwarded request from Lynn Bradbury to change her affiliation, Craig?
I did, yeah. She's Maine, not Massachusetts. Yes, I'll make sure I fix that. Yeah.
And any other amendments to the minutes circulated with the draft agenda and earlier? None? Hearing none, then we'll take the rest of them for approved and issue the revised or amended minutes. And then we will get into the question of tonight's agenda. It has been pre-circulated. Are there any amendments to the draft agenda? Anybody want to add anything or subtract anything from tonight's agenda? This is the time to bring it up.
I think Roger had a suggestion.
Oh, yeah. My turn then. Yes, I'd like to discuss if you consider the knockdown of the polls and Lloyd England's taxes as relevant to whether a plane or a plane didn't fly through, as a possibility anyway. I would like to discuss some of my thoughts on that.
So you'd like a focused discussion on the question of the polls as it relates to the question of a plane at the Pentagon, is that correct?
Correct.
How many minutes would you like us to reserve for that?
I probably need about 3 to 4 minutes to explain my thoughts, and then whatever you think is fair to the length of the meeting and everything, fine.
Okay. All right. So, any objection to granting 3 or 4 minutes presentation on that question to Roger, along with let's say the balance of 10 minutes for discussion? We can add to it if we need.
This is Barb. I'd like to make a comment.
Yes, go ahead, Barb.
Yeah, it just seems to me that after Wayne's presentation, presumably we'll have comments, Q's, and A's. And that, why not just bring it up then?
So this is Wayne. That may be a place for a comment. I think there's a limited amount of time for either Q&As and I'm not going to be addressing the lights, Lloyd.
Okay, well, my only point is, do we need a new agenda item, or could it just be during the comments after Wayne's presentation? That was my point.
Maybe I have to tell you what I'm thinking before we can, so you can say, no, this could wait, or this is worthy.
Okay, and then if Barb, I have an input here.
You there?
Hello?
I'm here.
Oh, okay.
Okay to go ahead?
Sorry, this is Ken. I got dropped off the call.
You're dropping again, Ken.
Ken, I'm having a really hard time hearing you.
Yeah, boy, this is going to be a tough night, I know. I'm sorry.
We cannot hear you, Ken.
Are you on a cell phone?
Yeah.
Okay. If you're speaking, Ken, we're not hearing you at all.
Mm-hmm. Not hearing Ken at all.
No.
Ken, are you there?
Ken, did you fall into a black hole?
They got to him.
Oh, no. Feels like one of these murder mysteries where we're all locked in a room in a house out on an island.
One by one, we disappear.
Who did it?
You know, with the group's permission, if I may just go ahead and go into it, I'd really like to. Roger.
Roger, I really think it's appropriate for Wayne to go first. He's the main agenda item.
Sure.
But Ken, can you hear us? Ken?
Maybe Wayne should just begin, and then maybe Ken will join us at some point.
I mean, there's nothing else we wanted to add in the way of agenda items, right? There's nobody else that has something to propose?
Well, there is Bart.
Hi, this is Ken Beck. Where are we at? There shouldn't be any further problem because I'm using a landline now.
We'll
probably be okay. Where are we at, Craig?
We're not much further ahead than we were before. We were discussing whether to go ahead or not. So pretty much it's a question of making sure there's double-checking on the agenda items.
Why don't we do this in the interest of time? If it's acceptable to you, Roger, we'll reserve 3 or 4 minutes for you when we get to that discussion period after Wayne's presentation to make your case. Whatever you want to present as a question, because it is somewhat relevant.
So there's a horrible sound on someone.
There is. What's that?
Somebody needs to mute.
Well, somebody did mute, I guess. Okay, so with that said,
I have a comment on the agenda item number 3.
Okay, one moment. Roger, is that acceptable to you?
Absolutely.
Okay, fine. All right, go ahead, Barbara.
We just haven't discussed, I think it's agenda item number 3, setting parameters for the December teleconference debate. I just wanted to make sure that happens. You hadn't mentioned it. I think that's important that we reserve at least that 15 to 20 minutes.
That's an agenda item, Barbara. That's already part of what we're agreeing to, okay? That's already an item. It's a separate item, okay?
Right. Just as long as it happens, it wasn't mentioned, okay?
Well, it has to happen. It's an agenda item.
Okay.
So, having said that, any other concerns about the agenda tonight before we proceed? All right. So, hearing none, we will move on to agenda item number 1. It's agenda item number 2. Why the large plane impact meeting at the Pentagon hypothesis cannot be discarded. And that will be presented by Wayne Costi, who is known to most of us, but for those who don't know him, 9/11 Truth Outreach is his bailiwick, and he can give you more information about that website as he goes. So, Wayne, welcome, and take it away.
Well, thank you, Ken. Thanks for the opportunity to kind of go through the evidence as I see it for a large plane impact. Now, I have to give you just a little bit of background before I begin. This is a piece of the research that I had done, trying to get ready to put together a two-hour cable TV show that never got completed. My host disappeared disappeared. He lost his show. So what I had intended to do was basically go through all the hypotheses, and I was in fact intending to ridicule the large plane impact hypothesis because of all the things I'd heard over the years, it just didn't make any sense and blah, blah, blah. So, but this time I actually had to put together the words in order to put everything in context, explain everything. And when I did, I found, my gosh, there's no way I can actually discard this hypothesis of a large plane impact. All the evidence that I've gathered seems to support that. Of course, there's a lot of other evidence that's out there, things that people have come up with. I'm not going to be discussing those. I'm just going to be going through what the large plane impact hypothesis is and why it is supportable. There is an awful lot of controversy around the issues of the Pentagon, and so I wanted to just kind of take a stab at pulling together the research I had and begin a discussion. And I look forward to getting the input and feedback from you and continuing this next month when we have a more formal series of debates or conversations, whatever you want to call it. What I'm going to be presenting is research that's been compiled by many other people. I have just kind of looked at all the information, and I've pulled this together. So what I first want to do is go to, first of all, there's a set of slides. I'm assuming that everyone has been able to download the PDF file that has 55 slides. I'm going to be going through it. There are some, I've been contacted, and some people have noted that I should make some corrections, but I'll note those as I go along. Slide two is basically what are the geographic locations. When I began doing this, I said, where's BITCO again? Where's the Pentagon? Where are these places that are going to ultimately be brought up in the conversation about what happened, where, when, and the geographic orientation seems to be important. So if we go to slide three, we've got the high level. We've got the Pentagon, and we can see that it's just north and east of the Reagan National Airport. We've got Washington, D.C. with the National Mall kind of highlighted, so you can kind of see where it's at. If we go to slide four, there's the Rosslyn area of Arlington. That's where on some buildings there were videos of the event, not quite as it happened, but there were witnesses from Rosslyn who saw the impact and reported it. We have the Arlington National Cemetery, where some of the CIT witnesses said that they were working. We've got the Pentagon again highlighted. Slide five shows that Route 27...
I'm so sorry to interrupt. I cannot find that those images... can someone email it to me, please?
No, they were sent out as a link with the draft agenda, okay? If you got,
all right,
you
I'll go look for that.
Agenda.
I'll
yeah,
go
okay.
look at it there.
Thank you.
Yes, Dave Schlesinger, just click on the hyperlink here, H-E-R-E underlined.
Very good.
Okay. Sorry about that. I should have checked to make sure everyone had a copy of it. So on slide five, we've got Route 27, Washington Boulevard, which goes along the west side. Many the witnesses who were directly impacted by whatever it was that happened, the thing that flew over went over their heads there, and then they noticed it. And then to the south of the Pentagon is I-395, sometimes known as Henry Shirley Memorial Highway. Slide six shows where the Pentagon is once again. That's a reference point. And then to the left, we can see where the former CITGO station was. We have the former naval annex highlighted in a blue rectangle. Then we have Columbia Pike circled. Some of the witnesses said they saw the plane flying up Columbia Pike, not across Arlington. And then we see the Sheraton Hotel. And because it'll come up another time, the DoubleTree Hotel is on the bottom right-hand side. Not called out, but it's just to the left of the Route 1, the Highway Route 1 sign, just for orientation of that, because that will come up again later. So if we go to slide 7, this is the official flight path of the thing they call AA Flight 77. It flew to Ohio, then allegedly returned. There's a lot of controversy about what actually happened when it was turning around. If we go to slide 8, we get to the image where the plane had come in, something had come in. It did a 320-degree spiral descent at some say up to 500 miles an hour, and crashed into the Pentagon. So that gives some orientation. Now let's go to slide 9. As far as the 320-degree turn, I'll say the possible hypotheses are that a poor pilot could not have performed the maneuvers that were observed. It's possible that remote control and guidance would have been used. The maneuver could have been done with a highly planned pre-programmed flight path, possibly showing off the technical skills to the perpetrators and their audience. And, of course, we can ask the question, who had these skills? Slide 10. Many have suggested that the terrorists would have targeted easy-to-hit roof, central courtyard, or the offices of the high-ranking officials, and would not attack the hardest-to-hit areas with many physical obstructions. With a downward-sloping hill, Virginia DOT antenna in the way, and, of course, the infamous light poles. The fact that this could all be done, potentially with a pre-programmed, highly vetted remote control system, I call the Mark of Zorro, letting people know who the perpetrators actually were by leaving their calling cards, because no way that a honey hunter could do this. So slide 11, the title, we're going to go through the alternative hypotheses briefly. The two major hypotheses, as I see it, are large aircraft impacted the Pentagon, similar to the official story, well-planned and executed military operation. It could answer how it was done. And then I think that there's quite a high probability that there were also explosions inside occurring simultaneously or sequentially. Other major hypothesis as embodied in behind the smoke curtain, and I think Barbara's going to want to make some additions to this, but the drone...
Correction. It's misstated. Yes, thank you.
Yes, okay, and I'll let you do that later. So there's a small aircraft that's exploded outside the heliport with explosion occurring inside simultaneously. Slide 13. Two less affordable hypotheses is a missile-only strike was the cause of the damage, and fourth, a bomb-missile strike with a subsequent flyover by the attacking plane. I'm not going to be addressing any of those last three items, just the first one. Slide 14 is the evidence here for large plane impact. The hypothesis, I believe, is supportable. That a large plane, after striking five light poles, a large Boeing 757 impacted at column 14 into the west wall of wedge 1 at about a 42-degree angle, passes through a newly hardened wall designed to withstand bomb attack and high forced lateral impacts. And the wing fuel tanks, which were nearly full, according to the official don't explode until they get inside, although I think there's a lot of, from the videos that we have seen, there was some major explosion of the fuel, related to fuel that's on the outside. So, slide 16 is, again, orientation of the Pentagon West face on 9/11. We see here there's a security camera on the left. We have the heliport control tower. Heliport fire truck is next to it. Then there's the big square heliport landing area with a big H. We have a white car and a van. They provide some level of reference points for when you see images, you know, what's going on. We have a gouged retaining wall that is shown, and we have the construction generator on the right hand side. And at the top, you can see pointing out about where column 14 is. It looks like there's a tree right in front of it. Slide 17. This is the images from the American Society of Civil Engineers Pentagon Building Performance. And what it shows is where the flight path over the route, the Washington Boulevard, the damaged columns on the right-hand side. The red ones are destroyed. not supporting. The green ones are damaged, but still standing. The light poles, I believe, are the yellow ones that are highlighted along the flight path. Those are the locations of them. The next slide, slide 18, I've highlighted where Daryl Donnelly, the photographer that photographed the many of the images that we'll be talking about, and many of which you've seen, was located there. You can see he was located here because he was taking pictures at various times down along the south side of the Pentagon, as well as from there to the north corner of the building and a number of places in between. So that kind of triangulates him there, and he recounts being in the car, hearing the jet engines going overhead, ducking because he was scared of the noise. Hears the plane hit the building, and then he pops his head up and he sees that there's a big fireball and starts taking pictures, and that's where he was, and he stayed with his car. The next slide, 19, it begins the series of five photographs. You can see it's a troubling photo of the potential plane coming in on the right-hand side. In the first video, the first shot here, the slide 20 is upon impact. Here you can see I've called out the trees are in silhouettes, suggesting the very light, very bright light behind it is behind it. You can almost see the heliport fire truck, and there's an orange band that is showing that there is something there, and it's not bleached out by the very bright lights, suggesting that in fact there is that the fires, the explosions, the really bright lights are in fact on the other side of the fire truck. And then we've got the heliport control tower that's also in silhouette, again with the fireball on the far side. And in the heliport landing zone is kind of called out where you can see it on the right hand side. Slide 20. Is just a continuation with the fireball. Slide 22 is the next one. Slide 4 of the series, and then slide 5 is slide 23 is the fifth one. I don't have anything else to say about that. We know all about those. One of the things that was found relatively recently, I understand, is a comment here that the Secret Service says cameras did see the aircraft go in, and they actually had them. So highlighted underneath says, so we have cameras that did see an aircraft go in, so the Secret Service at Joint Operations is saying this, and that was well before United 93 was reported going down. I'm going to just make a piece of speculation here. Barbara has said that, in fact, the Pentagon attack had to succeed, and it's quite possible that United Flight 93 was likely to be the backup in case this one failed. It wasn't going to hit the Capitol, it wasn't going to hit the White House. It was the backup for this one, and when they didn't need it, it got ditched. Good hypothesis. Maybe you guys can chew on it. It's not central to this discussion. Slide 25 is a divider. Looking at the details of the plane impact, if we go to slide 26, the Pentagon rings and wedges are shown here. Wedge 1 is to the right of the dotted line at the bottom where the yellow arrow is. There is damage going into parts of wedge 2, and you can see the alleged impact points highlighted there. Wedge 1 was the wedge 1 wall was hardened, and we'll talk about that in a little bit. Slide 27. The large plane hypothesis at the moment of the impact shows a plane almost correctly zooming along. Now, the trouble with this particular image, this was pointed out to me, and I've actually gone back and looked at the Boeing specs, is that the engine should be, in fact, aligned with the center line of the plane. The center line of the engine should be aligned with the bottom of the fuselage, and here it's shown much lower, and that's not consistent with a Boeing 757-200 series. So a little correction to that, and I don't know how, I can't do the photoshopping or whatever it would take to fix it, but that's an image. So moving on to the next slide, 28, the ASCE report says that 90 to 95% of the damage was on the first floor. Then if you take a look at where the where there are no columns, I've highlighted or the facade damage, serious facade damage, what we have is the highlighted area there is about 80 feet wide. There's no columns, no intact columns in that 80 feet, and of course there's the 16-foot diameter hole on the second floor, but of course that's not even relevant, not particularly relevant, because most of the plane impact would have been on the lower, damage was on the lower half of the first floor. Slide 29 shows that if you had momentum going in from the south southwest impacting, there would be momentum that would push the debris up further to the north and not come back to the south. And so that will explain the debris pattern because of the momentum. And if people could go on mute, that would be great.
Yeah, somebody needs to mute. That's got a lot of background noise going on here. Please star six to mute, star six to mute, and then star six to unmute.
Thank you.
Star six to mute, star six to unmute. Okay, thank you.
Okay, so slide 29 was the kind of the explanation for the debris going to the north as opposed to everywhere out uniformly dispersed from the impact point. Had there been explosives planted to do with the damage, the debris pattern would have been everywhere out on the lawn as a, in all directions, not all focused going north, which is where the debris actually was, as we'll see later. Slide 30. This is a superimposed on one of Daryl Donnelly's photos. It shows a plane at the alleged impact point of column 14. This is one of the pictures I got off the internet, but in fact it is not aligned correctly. It may be at the impact point, but it is a little bit misleading because of the perspective. The engine was assumed to have gouged that retaining wall. So the drawing's not perfect, but it kind of puts things in a little bit of perspective anyways. So I've kept it and included it. Going to slide 31, the fire was extinguished using foam. Reporters were kept away. And if you take a look at the distance between the diesel generator and the retaining wall that has a gouge in it, it's about the distance between the jet engines. So I guess that's all I want to say about that one. Slide 32. Now, with all the, I believe that this is a composite photo, and what it does show is that it does show the state of the building before the wall, that whole building section collapsed. And you can see column 14 right in the middle of the 16-foot hole on the second floor. Then you can see that the columns are all spaced about 10 feet apart. And there is a column 10 appears to be completely intact. Column 18 appears to be completely intact and is 80 feet of open space between there. At column 16, that appears to be a column that is no longer attached at the bottom and hanging by rebar. It's certainly is not going, it's not vertical and attached to both sides to the solidly like it is at the column 18 or column 10. And then there's another, I think at column 17, that's where another one of the columns is hanging with rebar from the top. Slide 33. This is just highlighting the distances. You can count them out between the distance between the supporting columns. Slide 34. so is the hardened wall. It is, if you go from the left-hand side, it has 6 inches of Indiana limestone. Then there's 8 inches of brick. There's 10 inches of concrete. And so it's a massive wall. And if you and it was designed to counter explosions and impacts. It's really pretty much a strong wall, but it is in fact also tied in at only a few places across the top where it's structurally included. So when you go take a look at the mass of the planes, the Boeing 757-200 is about 110 tons. The mass of the wall, assuming it's 12 feet high, 120 feet wide, although the opening that we're talking about here is only 80 feet, that's 1,440 square feet of total wall area, 1,080 square feet, assuming 25% of the wind, the wall area is window space, assuming 200 pounds per square foot of non-window wall, we have the mass of the wall is 216,000 pounds or 108 tons. And so what we have is, you know, people say it's like a beer can getting squashed, but in fact, it's like a beer can getting squashed against a sheet of aluminum, a thin sheet of aluminum of equal size and mass. So it's not at all inconceivable that when you take 110 tons going at 400 to 500 miles an hour and hits another something stationary at with equal mass, it's going to move. So that's some of the technical dimensions here. We go down to slide 36. 100 tons of blast resistant wall got knocked down, and that's what it looks like happened, plus some other stuff on the other side of these attack columns. Slide 37 is a cutaway of a 757, and what it's trying to show here is that the bulk of the mass of the building is, or the structure is in the lower half of the airframe, and so as a result, most of the damage would be in the lower half of on the first floor if the impact was about at the first floor column, the floor of the second. The slab of the second floor at column 14. This would be what would be doing the penetrating into the impacting the wall and pulling it down, knocking it down, and all it has to do is get a little bit out of the way before it is in fact whatever it is, the plane can then go through into the building and no one would be able to see it.
Wayne, I need to interrupt you just to give you a heads up on the time here. We're at 25 minutes, and there's only about 10 minutes left for questions and discussions at this point. So,
thanks for your time. Thanks for the time. So let's scurry on through. So we have here on slide 38 is the cross section of the Pentagon. What was damaged was the first floor, and it's. It's continuous all the way through to the C-ring, which I had not realized before I started doing this research. Slide 39, is it possible to avoid hitting the lawn? I believe it is. The evidence is that it skirted above the ground. It didn't hit the ground. The engines hang down about 5 feet below the body of the airframe, as long as it was airborne, as it appears to have been, it would have avoided hitting the lawn. Slide 40 shows the pristine lawn, everyone has seen. Slide 41 talks about the cable spools. These weren't hit. We also don't know what the initial location of these were, and we do know that as the plane would have gone by, the downwash would have dragged, made some of the unsecured things roll around, and that is potentially what happened here with the spools. And again, you can see the gouged retaining wall. Largest piece of wreckage. This is a famous shot that everyone's seen. Slide 43. The debris is not symmetric around the impact zone. After the fireball, witnesses said there were lots of debris, pieces of debris. They rained down at I-27, all to the north, as we've talked about earlier. Slide 44 is the debris on the heliport and the pristine lawn in the distance. And I'm going to skip I'll go through this pretty quickly. The slide 46 is the official path. But in this picture, you can see the antenna, and then you can see. But all you have to do is clear that this particular the NTSB reported altitude comes from questionable sources. In fact, slide 47 is an overview. You can see where the official flight path would have been. All it had to do was clear the Virginia DOT antenna. Slide 48 is just another map for your information. We've kind of gone through all this. Slide 40, slide 50 is one of the workers taking the pole away. And the only reason I really wanted to show this is people will say that there's unburned materials and up on the upper floors. And of course, there was no fires up on the upper floors. So. Moving on, slide 51 just talks about the plane. Northwest Airlines 255 hit a light post, lost the wing section, different type of aircraft. And if you want to watch the video, what you'll find out, the video simulations of this particular crash, they hit two light poles. Slide 53 is the remnants of the crash. Slide 54 gives you some of the statistics about this. I have got to correct a couple of them here. Northwest 255 traveled 2,500 feet in 5.2 seconds after hitting the light post. The large plane that we're talking about traveled 950 feet in 2.25 seconds, not 1,400 feet in 2.5 seconds. And the momentum would have been sufficient to continue the Pentagon wall. Quite likely the plane was headed for the second floor and lost some lift because of this and ended up hitting the first floor instead. But there's a lot of momentum, and you can't change momentum very quickly in 1.25 seconds to 110 tons of stuff flying in one direction. And that's, I appreciate the opportunity, slide 55 at the end for questions, and appreciate the opportunity and the great time that I had here. So, Ken.
Thank you very much, Wayne. Okay, since we're running very short on time, and we have promised Roger 3 minutes to make his question as it relates, I'd like to ask Roger to go ahead and go first and use his 3 minutes, and then we'll just open it up for general questions. I'll do the stack after Roger's done. So go ahead, Roger, and then we'll take a stack. Go ahead, Roger.
Okay, I'm going to try my best to just remind you that Lloyd England was supposedly driving down 27, if I got it correct, when a large plane knocked the pole down and sent a piece of it flying through his windshield, which he then swerved away from the Pentagon direction of the view, somebody came along, helped him with that pole out, and pictures were taken, and that's the story. Okay, I just want to remind everybody that we've all had experiences with large fast-moving objects. I'll give you an example, a baseball bat and a ball. And the faster the bat moves, further the ball goes. And therefore, I could give you other examples, a golf ball standing still and a club. In a tornado, you've got a straw that penetrates through a pole. All kinds of things happen when something very strong affects something very light. And the my understanding, these poles were about 250 pounds, and they were meant to break away in the event a car, let's assume 40 to 60 miles per hour, hits it. It was meant to fall away in some ways, not to kill the passengers. That's why they have the breakaway bolts. So now you've got a 220,000-pound plane supposedly hitting something that weighs 250 pounds. I dare say the pictures indicate that the poles just fell right in place, nice and neat, from where they were standing. Now, if it was a baseball and a bat, wouldn't that pole, essentially the ball, go quite a distance?
Yes.
Okay. So you've asked, thank you. That was your question? Okay. And so that question is out there if people wish to use their time to respond to it. Before I take a stack. Who's talking? Sorry. Okay. Before we take a stack here, because we're so short of time, I'm going to ask that everyone limit questions, which are what we're limiting to right now, to 30 seconds. And Wayne's response to 30 seconds so that everybody gets an opportunity that wants to at least make one comment or ask one question. So with that said, who would like to be on the stack?
Adam
Pilot. Barbara, who else?
Adam Pilot.
Okay, too many at once, sorry.
Dave Schlesinger.
Dave Schlesinger, who else?
Adam Pilot.
Couldn't hear it.
Adam Pilot.
That was Adam.
Adam Syed.
Adam Syed, okay, got that. And who else?
Sheila.
Sheila, who else?
Did you get Craig?
No, Craig, I didn't, sorry. Craig, and who else?
Okay.
Cheryl, who else? Okay, so I've got Barbara, Dave, Adam Syed, Sheila, Craig, and Cheryl. Anybody else? Okay, Barbara, you're first. 30 seconds, go ahead.
Can I jump in for one quick second and say, Ken, if you want... If we're really short on time, you can bump my agenda item. I can, bring it
okay.
up another time. I mean, I don't mind
enough.
That's going to help.
Well, let's do it this way. Yeah, let's stay with this formatting, but we can then take multiple questions and answers if you're going to be gracious enough to postpone your item to allow for this. So, okay, go ahead, Barbara, you first.
Okay, well, first, a quick comment and then an invitation. And I've already sent an email to everybody. If you have a chance, if not, please go back and look at it.
Excuse me. Somebody really needs to please mute your phone. Star 6, there's a lot of beeping and stuff. So Star 6, please, if that's you, so that others don't need to hear it. Okay, you can start over again. Go ahead.
So I can start over?
No, I'm starting your time over. Go ahead. Continue.
Oh, okay. Yeah, it's Barb. Quick comment and an invitation. The comment is, in Wayne's slide, two major hypotheses, as he stated, the second hypothesis that he says is the only one that he thinks now stands up to this official story is mine, in Smoke Curtain, but it's completely misstated. My hypothesis in Smoke Curtain, as I put out in my email to everybody, so go look for it before this call, is that it was a large plane that was destroyed at the Pentagon, just that it wasn't Flight 77, wasn't at the time, or the place on the wall that the official story states, and that the explosions did not happen simultaneously, but began well ahead of time, at least 8 minutes before the official story alleged impact time. So my position is completely misstated here, and seeing if I'm going to be in the debate with Wayne on December 30th, my invitation to everybody is, if you'd like to have a short, and I would keep it short, presentation like this that Wayne gave between now and then, I'd be happy to do it. So that's my comment.
Okay. Dave, you're next.
Yes.
Star 6. Okay.
Yeah, a very quick point and then a question. I'm from that area. It's not I-27. 27 is a Virginia road. It's not an interstate. My question is, Enver Masood notes that if the plane was that close to the ground, it would rip up the grass without having to touch it. just the force of the air would rip up the grass.
Good point.
Okay.
So you
want to respond to that, Ray?
Well, I can just simply say that I'll take that back as something to look into. I don't know if that is particularly. I can look into it. That's all I can say.
Good enough.
Okay. Thank you. Thanks, Dave. Adam Syed.
Hi, Wayne. Okay, well, thank you for the presentation. You basically showed all of the images that you think make it plausible that it could be consistent with the 757. But I understand that that's all you focused on and didn't look at any other hypotheses. But in your slide presentation there, you do dismiss others, including particularly the flyover scenario, as unlikely, and I'm curious as to why you dismiss it as unlikely. And do you find the witnesses who placed the plane north of over the annex and north of the Sitco to be credible?
Well, okay. Okay. So the thing that I did when I started to try to figure out what was going on, so they went back to the original sources for the day. We know that in the World Trade Center bombings, people talked about explosions, and the conversations of that day were more credible than anything you heard from day two on. So I went back to the sources for the original day, listened to a number of witnesses who called in within an hour, were on the air, and a couple of them saw from a remote distance a plane fly in, and the explosion, they didn't talk anything about the plane continuing on. There was a gentleman from Roslyn, and there was another one from St. Barnabas, which is probably about 6 miles away, but in a high building. He said he could see it. There are many witnesses who saw the impact, and no one else that I am aware of really saw this event. Roosevelt Roberts goes to the south loading dock, looks out, looks towards what has to be the Reagan National, and says, "Oh, I saw a plane circling the parking lot," and freaks out and runs away, right? So, or goes back to where he's supposed to go, and then
immediately after the explosion.
I see. Pardon?
Immediately after the explosion at the Pentagon was when he ran out and saw the plane just over the light poles in the parking lot, flying away from the Pentagon. Yeah.
That's not correct.
Yeah.
He said he saw it at
9:11
a.m.
Yeah. We can't do too back and forth here right now because we really are trying to keep time for everybody.
Yeah.
So that's your response, right?
Roosevelt Roberts, when he goes back in, or when he does his initial recording for the Library of Congress, is not a particularly informative about this that particular aspect. Okay, next question.
Okay, thank you. Sheila?
Yeah, I guess I was just, it seems really baffling to me that you would somehow assume that information that we're getting from the mainstream media, such as the people they interview, that would be something that we could trust. I firmly believe that if somebody had called up NBC or ABC and said, "I saw the plane fly over the Pentagon, it never hit," they would not have put that person on. There would be no way to know how many people might have seen that because we never would have heard about it from the media. And there have been many cases where people have called in and we know they're from the media. There have been lots and lots of interviews where they said, "Oh, we're fortunate enough to have our executive producer happen to see it, and here he is on the line," and that was the case up in New York. So it's just baffling to me, Wayne, why you would somehow think that the mainstream media would be telling us the truth on this issue.
Well, as you also know from the extensive research that's been done, there's 118 people, witnesses, fire department, who said that there were sounds of explosions. That's a public record. I know, with the exception of no other sources of contemporary interviews that support anything to do with a plane flyover. I am so the witnesses that I've listened to seem to be credible. They are single data points, and we're trying to triangulate on all the things that could have happened and discard those that don't seem very plausible. And to me, a large plane impact, as I've described it, seems to be plausible enough so that people who advocated for it should be given the respect, instead of being some of the set of the tone that I've heard on people over the years. That's all.
Okay.
Next question.
Thank you, Craig. You're next.
I wonder if I'm part of that tone, but my question is about the VDOT tower. If my understanding is if the plane that you're talking about had gone on the official flight path, it would have to have cleared that tower. And the flight data recorder has it at, I think it's 699 feet above sea level at that point, which is much higher than the tower. But Pilots for 9/11 Truth has calculated the g-forces that would have occurred had the plane from the official height had to level out, hit the light poles in the building, that it would have been a huge g-forces, like 34 g's or something like that. And even if it wasn't that high, even if it just barely cleared the tower, it would still be over 10 g's, which would be beyond the plane's ability to withstand, and plus it wasn't even recorded by the flight data recorder. So I'm just wondering how we can see the plane clearing that tower and then leveling out and getting the building.
Yeah. So as I understand the Pilots for 9/11 Truth review, they suggest that the data that they've been given doesn't hold up. It doesn't. My understanding is the data that's on it is from the wrong type of a recorder. It's,
right.
It wasn't a solid state one. There's so many things that are wrong with it that while it might make a good data point if it was consistent, it seems to be outside the realm of the envelope of what might have happened. The slide 46 that I have is from one of the Pilots for 9/11 Truth. Someplace, and it does have 34 G's from that very high altitude, but all it had to do was clear the antenna to be on the official flight path, or as some other witnesses suggested, maybe slightly to the left, so that it is flying more over the naval annex, so it would be off slightly different angle. There's a lot of things about the flight data recorders that make them untrustworthy sources. And like I said, we're all trying to triangulate on what the good data is and what the not so good data is, so that we can discard that, or at least set it in the this doesn't make any sense pile. We'll consider it later, maybe. Next question.
You would disagree with David Chandler then, who considers that to be authentic, and also refers to the Warren Stutt and Frank Legg study that shows that the flight data recorder data was not decoded properly.
I have no idea. I have not looked at it that closely, and I'm not familiar actually with what David Chandler's position actually is. This is all.
Okay.
This is the research that I had done beginning last January for my cable access show. And
we're at time for this one. Thanks, Cheryl. You're the last on the list. Go ahead.
Okay. Yeah. Quick question. In the movie, the 9/11, the new Pearl Harbor, the five-hour-long one, they say that a plane, if it went at that speed and that close to the ground, that it would fall apart. And I just wonder how you would explain that.
I've heard many things about the planes and the ground effects. My understanding is that a plane can fly that close to the ground, and in fact, if the simple test that I have in my simple mind, I'm sure that some of you are going to agree with that statement. In my simple mind, right. So in my simple mind, if a pilot had a lot of trouble and he was flying over the Bonneville Salt Flats, he'd fly, what, at 500 miles an hour? Because he'd never be able to hit the ground. The ground effect would keep him up, and, you know, so there's something. A plane has to be able to nose itself down onto the ground and destroy itself. We don't know what the positions of the flaps were. We don't know whether this turbulence is sufficient to destroy the grass. I've never heard that one. It seems to me, from everything I've read, that it seems, and what I just know from engineering, that you're not going to design a plane that if it gets too much turbulence, it's just going to fall apart. And I don't believe, I don't recall that from Mizuko's new Pearl Harbor. I don't recall hearing that particular point. You can send me a better link, Cheryl. I appreciate it.
Okay. Thanks. Well, Ralph Bolstad has said that he flew that physical plane.
Can I be on the set, please?
Okay. One moment. We are at the end of the first stack, and before we proceed, I need to say a couple things. We have less than a half an hour. We do have to reserve time because, for those of you who may not be aware of it, the purpose of this presentation tonight was twofold. First of all, it was to present this thesis, but secondly, to prepare the way for an open debate on the question of whether or not a big plane did hit the Pentagon. And so we need to reserve time tonight to establish how we're going to proceed with that debate. So we really don't have a lot more time for questions. Is anybody who has not spoken yet want to be on the stack?
Yes, Ned.
Ned, okay. I'll give Ned a quick chance to speak, and then I think we'll go to the next thing. And if we have some time left, we can always come back and discuss this further. But we really need to move to that other agenda item before
we can hear me, Ken?
Yes. Go ahead, Ned.
Just a quick question. Wayne, I was just wondering if you're familiar with the work of Peter Tiradera on the analysis of the attack in the Pentagon.
I didn't hear the last word, but I don't know who this Peter is. I'm not familiar with his work.
You answered my question. Thank you.
Well, if I could just say who he is. This is Barb. He's written a very important book on the Pentagon, and he's quoted in Smoke Curtain. He's a very important witness who is a Air Force specialist on the effects of airplane crash and debris.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay.
If you want to send me some more information, please feel free to. Thanks.
Hi, guys. Can you hear me? It's Wilt.
Wilt, hi. Yeah. Welcome to the call. And, yes, I don't think you're the only new caller that has not been recorded as being on this call. Is anyone besides Ned not on our list of people who have called in? I think there are a couple more. What's your area code, Ned?
47905.
Wilt, what is your area code?
Mine is it's 609 Caltrop.
Okay, thank you. So who has the 716 area code that it called in after I did? After I called in the second time.
There's a 781. It's Spartan.
No, 716. Who has a 716? 716 area code. And is on mute at the moment, so please unmute yourself and identify yourself. I'm sorry? Star 6.
It was static.
Whoever is muted, well, I'll just unmute you here real quick, and you can identify yourself. 716 area code, 716465. I won't mention the last four numbers, but please identify yourself for the benefit of the other callers. Who is that? Oh, and you just muted yourself. Isn't that interesting? I guess I'm going to have to drop you from the call. If you'd like to come back and tell us who you are, you're welcome to join us. But otherwise, we'll have to say sayonara. Okay, so, and also the other person who just joined us, the 781, was Bart. Is that Bart?
Yes,
Bart. Oh,
yes.
Okay. All right, got that record?
Yep.
Okay.
Does anybody know? Does anybody know where 716 area code is?
Buffalo, Rochester.
Yeah, that sounds like Rochester.
I'm
so anyway,
Austin.
Am I on?
We're not going to discuss it right now. We don't have time. So let's move on to our next agenda item, and we can come back to this one if we have time later, unless we have time for Craig. So I'm not sure we will as rate we're going. All right. So again, we're looking to debate openly the question of whether or not there was a big plane at the Pentagon, and that would be open for discussion. Is Tim on the call? Tim Michael?
I don't think so.
Uh-oh, we got the 716 caller coming back. You want to tell us who you are, please, before I have to talk to the caller a second time? 716 caller, you are asked to identify yourself. Tell us who you are. Oh, we're just getting static.
Hi, Paul Zaremka.
Paul Zaremka, that's who it is. Okay, welcome, Paul. We couldn't hear you before. Okay, very good. So, we are looking now to, I'm sorry, Tim Michael. Tim Michael was the one who originally proposed this debate. Is he not on the call? I guess he said he would be here, but I guess he's not here. So we're just going to take it as an open proposal, I guess. Would anybody like to, I guess it's been moved, but not by anybody here, that we consider an open debate. Does anybody want to second that proposal?
I second it.
Yep. I'll second it.
Okay. So it's been moved and seconded that we do have a debate on the question raised by tonight's presentation. Who would like to be on the stack to discuss how we proceed with that?
Barbara.
Craig. Who else? Craig. Who else?
Could I raise a point of order, Wilt?
Real point of order. Go ahead.
How does this have a connection to getting a new investigation? What's the link? Perhaps I'm being a bear of little brain, but what's the connection
here? There doesn't need to be a connection. That's not the strict purpose of this call. We have other issues as well.
All right.
Okay.
Fair enough.
Okay. Who else would like to be on the stack to speak?
Paul Zaremka.
Paul, who else? Okay, Barbara, you first. Try to keep it to a minute, please, if you can.
I couldn't hear what you just said.
Try to keep it to around a minute, if you can, okay?
Oh, yeah, sure, no problem. Yeah. Okay, well, for those who aren't aware of it, because there has been a small thread amongst myself, Wayne, Craig McKee, and Tim Michael. I'm going to have to start over. There was a big noise.
Yeah, there's a lot of background static. If that's you with the background noise, and it might be you, Paul. No, it wouldn't be you, Paul, because you're already muted. Anybody else that it might be, please *6, and you can *6 to get back in the conversation when you need to. Thank you very much. Go ahead, Barbara.
Okay, I'll just start over. Okay, so just for those who don't know, and you wouldn't know, there's been a short thread amongst myself and Ken Freeland, Greg McKee, and Tim Michael. I believe I've got everybody on that. Of course. Dwayne Coffey. Prior to this call, and we've agreed that we want to do a debate. And the question before us, Wayne and I have agreed to do a two-way debate. We were hoping for a three-way debate with Craig. And Craig, the last that I know, said that he would prefer a series of two-way debates. So really the question before us isn't a debate, but what format of the debate is. That's my comment.
Okay. Craig, hopefully you'll correct the history there, but go ahead. It's your turn.
Yeah, the original idea, I think, was for a one-on-one, and then it became a three-way, and I just felt, for reasons I won't go into, but just that it would not be the best way to get at what I think are the most important questions, and it would be just kind of muddled, I think. But anyway, so I think if we're going to do it, one against one is better. So if that means a series of up to three debates, that be the three sort of positions that have been put forward, then, that would be fine with me. And if that's, if Barbara and Wayne were going to go in the December one, that would be fine. And then perhaps I could, I or whoever else is, because it could be me or Adam Roth, we were both talking about this, could go,
against Wayne in January, and then you know, we could do another one in February, I guess, if everybody wanted to do that. So,
that
you know, that...
And Wayne said it was fine with him.
Yeah, so it's fine with me, too. I might just throw the question out there. Would either of you have an objection if I wanted to share part of it with Adam Ruff? In other words, still have the exact same time, but just perhaps have him come in for a rebuttal instead of me, just so that we could get both of us in there, because we had both kind of shown an interest.
That would be fine, but that'd be just fine. You could have five people, as far as I'm concerned.
Okay, well, also...
This
I'll
is Wayne. So
start recruiting then.
So this is Wayne. Remember, the whole point of these debates was to get everyone on the same page, talking about the evidence, so that we can narrow our differences, so that we know what each other are saying, narrow the differences, and be able to agree on at least something, and find out what that something is, and if you need five people, or you want five people on your team, then to clarify things, that would be just fine. All I want to do is get the positions well known and actually have us all say them on the same conference call and have a moderated discussion. And I really appreciate the opportunity to do that. Over.
So
okay.
Do I.
I'm going to put myself last on the deck after Paul. Go ahead, Paul. It's your turn.
Yeah, I just wanted to say that I would not support a three-way debate. Things just get too confusing. It's fair to the participants to have them know what topic they're focusing on, not focusing on two different topics. And frankly, Barbara, that includes you also, okay? I don't like you sort of always jumping in before everybody else and just relax a bit. Okay, that's all I have to say.
You don't have to criticize anyone, Paul.
Okay. Let's keep it to the subject at hand here, which is trying to formulate a plan for a debate. Now, I would like to say, speaking personally here, not as facilitator, that I have a disagreement somewhat with Wayne about the purpose of the debate that I see for it. I think debates clarify differences in a way that not just clarify differences, but allow people to test the strength of differences in a way that discussions do not. And that's why I would like to really see a serious debate rather than a discussion. But the proposal right now that's been seconded is to have a debate, not to have a discussion. So I would like to therefore request that we spend the next few moments trying to clarify the topic to be debated so that it's extremely clear, and then we can ask for participants who are interested, to be fair about this. But I would like us to be very, very clear about what it is that we're actually debating, so there's no question about it later. It has to have something to do with Big Plane, okay? But what it has to do with Big Plane remains to be seen. So I'll open that for discussion and ask that we try to narrow that down within the next few moments so that we can go on to determine who's going to be debating it, okay?
Hey, it's Barb on the set.
Barbara? And
Craig.
Who else would like to be on the stack against Craig? Who else?
Craig.
Craig, I got you. Who else?
Okay.
I'm sorry? I got Barbara and Craig only. Okay? All right. So go ahead, Barbara.
Yeah. Well, I just wanted to let people know the contents of the discussion on the short thread amongst those of us who have, want to debate each other and have agreed to debate each other in a series of two-way debates. And the original proposal was words to the effect. Resolve, the large plane hit the Pentagon, period. And my only proposal was to add a simple clause, and that is comma, so it would be resolved, colon, a large plane hit the Pentagon, on 9/11 of course, comma, at the official story, time and place, period. And the reason that I proposed that is because Wayne has acknowledged, even in his presentation today, that is his position, and he is the affirmative. So it just clarifies
it. Right. Okay. Would anybody like to second that title? Well, I guess that's not really needed, because this is really an amendment. So we'll just say we're going to speak to the amendment at the moment. Yeah, it is an amendment, so it needs to be seconded. Would anybody like to second it? That title for the debate?
I second it.
Okay, seconded. So would anybody like to speak against that?
I would.
Dwayne.
Dwayne, okay. Would anybody Sheila. Like to follow Dwayne and speak for it? But if not, if you'll excuse me for doing so as moderator, I will put myself in there if nobody else can do it.
Can I go in as well? Craig, go in as well?
No, who?
Craig?
Craig, yeah. You can
I don't know if I'm...
You can do this instead of me, Craig. Okay.
Well, no, no, I think you should...
I'd rather not be partisan if I can avoid it. Who else would like to speak to the issue of this title that's been proposed by Barbara?
I hope we hear from Wayne, because he would be the other debater.
No, Barbara. That's not, well, I'm sorry. I'm sorry for interrupting you, but it really, please just let people put themselves on the stack or not.
Okay, I want to go on the stack. This is Sheila.
Sheila, okay, who else?
Yeah.
Sheila, are you speaking for or against the amendment?
Against.
Okay, who would like to speak for the amendment? Hearing none, others, and I'll put myself there. Okay, so Dwayne, you're first to speak against. Go ahead.
Okay, I'm speaking it against because I believe that adding the time component is just complicating what I thought was a pretty simple and well understood resolve, which is, did a large airplane strike? And I think it should be that it's full, clear. I don't think it has the confusion that over.
Okay.
All right,
Barb, no, you're not on the stack to speak. It's Craig's turn to speak to this. If you want to be on the stack, I'll put you on the stack, Barbara, okay? Go ahead, Craig.
Okay, yeah, I agree that the simple question is preferable. The only thing about that is that when it comes to the third debate, which I guess would be me and Barbara, or somebody from this is the same position and Barbara, we can't debate that question because we both agree on that question. So we would have to have a different question for the third debate. It would, you know, just because we both agree a large plane didn't hit the building. So we need more than one question, I guess, is my point.
That's a good point. I agree completely.
Please, Barbara. Sheila, your turn.
Yeah, I agree we need more than one question also, and I think that the second, can you hear me okay? Oh, I think I'm,
there we go,
that's better. I had it on speaker. I think that the second one should be, in arguing for the affirmative, I guess it would be Craig, that the Pentagon faked a plane crash on their own property. So the question would be, did the Pentagon fake a plane crash on their own property?
Okay, that's a little out of order here because we're just speaking to this amendment right now.
About that. Okay.
Yeah, no problem. Okay, so I'm going to go ahead and speak in favor of it. The reason why is because if Barbara and Wayne are debating here, both of them happen to believe that there was a large plane at the Pentagon. So I would not want the question simply stated as it was, because that would allow us essentially to have two affirmative positions arguing with each other. This way, at least the question of whether the Pentagon was struck at the original time and place would be argued against or for, rather than involving a second affirmative position that there was a large plane in the Pentagon, but it didn't hit at the time and place. I don't want to go there in this debate. So I would prefer this clarified title. Okay. Barbara, you're next.
Barb, I need to comment on that because it's not quite accurate portrayal of my position.
Well, go ahead.
Thank you. Yeah. I'd like to amend my amendment, and I'll go along with Dwayne. That's fine. Dwayne Deed. So I'm proposing, and that would address your concern also, Ken. I would amend my proposed proposition for the first debate between Wayne and myself to be resolved. A large plane hit the Pentagon at the official storage place on the wall. Period. We don't have to address the time. I don't need to address the time, although I could. And I would just like to clarify that I do take a negative position. I do not maintain that the evidence supports that a large plane hit the wall. I maintain that a large plane was destroyed on or around the heliport.
We don't know.
It did not hit the wall. Okay, it's not a fixed wall in my position. I just want to clarify. So I am a negative in the first debate.
Okay. So you're asking to amend your amendment so that it reads, resolved, a large plane hit the Pentagon at the original time.
At the official story place, correct.
Any objections to allowing Barbara to change this amendment, to amend her amendment? Hearing none, then we'll take that as the current topic to be debated, to be proposed. Any other comments on this topic? Resolved, a large plane hit the Pentagon at the original time, at the official story place. I'm going to put myself on the stack to ask a question. Does anybody else want to be on the stack to continue this discussion?
Well, a point of clarification, I think, from Sheila's comment and also Craig's, we're just talking about the proposition for the first debate.
Yeah, we haven't decided if it's going to be the same proposition for any future debates at this point. This is only for a single upcoming debate that we're proposing at the moment.
Okay.
I'd like to ask Barbara, if you think this topic as it's stated, would you then be debating simply to negate the proposition on the negative, or would you be trying to affirm an alternative proposition that there was a large plane in fact, but it didn't hit at the right time and place? I would like to know that before we proceed.
Well, you have to understand that in order to counter the evidence that Wayne has put forward, which I can point by point, I have to state the evidence for what actually happened.
Not necessarily. You could just rebut his. But in any case, okay, I'm going to put myself on the stack to speak against this proposal then. Would anybody else like to be on the stack to speak for or against?
I think you misunderstand my position.
No, I don't misunderstand your position, but what I think you misunderstand is what I would like to see debated, personally. And it's not whether or not the plane hit here, or whether there's a plane here or there. It's whether or not there was a plane, okay? And that's not what I guess your story is now.
But all three of us agree there was a plane.
No.
We all agree that.
Well, you don't. There's not agreement that there's a plane destroyed at the Pentagon. That's only your and Wayne's position, okay?
But we're only talking really about the first debate now. Talking about between Wayne and I.
Yes, I know. And just as an individual, I would like to say that I would prefer that we simplified it to the question of whether or not the official story is being can everybody hear okay?
Now
yeah.
I can.
Yes.
Okay. Wow. Okay, well, we haven't had problems like that for a long time. My proposal, well, I would say this. If we vote against, if the vote goes against Barbara's, I will introduce a different proposal to simply debate whether or not a large plane was destroyed at the Pentagon. So that's just what I want to introduce. So anybody else want to speak for or against the proposal, or are we ready to vote on Barbara's proposal?
I have a comment to make.
Go ahead,
Wayne
Barbara.
Wayne has not spoken.
That's
either,
up to Wayne.
Either the proposed resolve a large plane hit the Pentagon or a large plane hit the Pentagon at the official story place is Wayne's affirmative position, then, it is. So why would you want to change it?
Because I would like to see debated whether or not a plane was present at the Pentagon, destroyed the Pentagon. That's his claim, and it also happens to be your claim. And I would like to see that claim challenged by anyone. That's what I understand to be the gist of his argument that I would like to see
but
debated.
But
you're not in a position to debate that.
That will be the debate with Craig.
No, you're going to argue, But you're going to argue that there was a plane, a big plane at the Pentagon that got destroyed there. So that's not going to be what I'd like to see debated personally, but that's okay.
It
maybe
but
that's
it was what Tim
like
proposed. It was what Tim proposed. It's unfortunate he's not on the call.
No, you know, we're voting on your amended version now. We're not voting on Tim's original proposal. I'm sorry. That was a different
I would just go on record. I'd be happy to go ahead with the original resolve the large plane hit the Pentagon.
Well,
I just...
We could still get into the same problem with that as far as I'm concerned. So anyway, let's just leave it at where it is now. If nobody else would like to speak, we'll go ahead and say all in favor of Barbara's amended title for the debate, say aye.
Could you say aye.
What it is? Oh, I'm sorry. Before we do this, everybody unmute, please. Star 6. Star 6 if you're muted so that we can hear your voice for the vote. Okay, star 6. Make sure everybody's back. Star 6. Make sure that you're being told that your phone is unmuted if you have any doubts. Okay. Give everybody a moment to. Wayne, go ahead.
Dwayne.
I'm sorry, Dwayne. Go ahead.
Okay, I believe that Barbara has more or less withdrawn her amendment.
No,
I withdrew part of my amendment. I just withdrew the time in response to your concern.
Okay, the last conversation I thought you actually withdrew the place or hit,
no.
The word hit. So
we're
like
voting, if I understand right now, we are voting on resolved, a large plane hit the Pentagon at the official story place. Period.
That's correct. That's the currently modified form of the amended topic. Okay, so that's what we're voting on. So if everybody's ready to vote, let's go ahead and just get a vote here. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Say
aye.
Topic.
Aye.
All opposed, say nay.
Nay.
Oh, it's close. Okay, roll. I'm going to need a roll call vote here, Craig. Okay.
Okay. Yeah, I must say, though, I'm confused about what I'm voting on, because...
Oh, we're voting in favor of Barbara's proposed amendment topic for debate, for this upcoming debate, okay?
For the first debate?
An affirmative vote... it's just a debate. There's only one debate on the table right now, okay? It's that we're going to have a debate following this presentation that we heard tonight, and that's going to be the topic. We don't have any other proposals for debate at the moment. We're open for those, but they're not on the table at the moment. So right now we're just looking for the debate topic so that we can open it up to see who wants to debate it. But that's where we're at, okay?
Oh, so even if we disagree,
okay.
It's all right to say, yes, let them have the debate.
Yeah, if we disagree, we're just disagreeing about the topic. We're not disagreeing about having a debate, okay? The question, we're trying to clarify a topic and get consensus on it, or at least a majority point of view, a majority opinion on it. If we can't do that, then we have to go back to reconsider what the topic should be, because we still have the motion on the floor to have a debate. We just don't have a topic yet that's agreed to, okay? So that's what we're trying to
do. No, but we do have a topic, Ken, that's agreed to with the
No, I'm sorry, Barbara. This teleconference has not made any decisions about that yet. I'm sorry. So please,
why don't you ask
Wayne?
I do not understand why we're voting on.
Because you don't understand that conversations that were held outside of this teleconference don't have any germane. They're not germane to this teleconference until the teleconference agrees to it. Okay.
Okay.
We're trying to make it.
Everybody who votes needs on any topic needs to understand. That the topic resolved a large plane hit the Pentagon has been agreed to by Wayne and I to debate. I have simply suggested adding in this amendment the clause at the official story place, which is Wayne's position. And he said so.
Barbara, you're mistaken. I'm sorry, you're way out of order here. Tim Michael requested that we schedule a debate following Wayne's presentation. He did not request that you and Wayne be the participants. He did not request the topic that we are now considering. Okay, all of that is stuff that's being done here, and it needs to be agreed to by the people here so that we can move forward. Okay, so please, let us make the decision, and then we'll move forward. Craig,
that's fine. I just want people to know before the vote that Wayne
you've told them twice. I think they know. Please, please, Craig, take the roll call vote.
Okay.
All right, I'll just read the names, and you can tell me yay or nay. Roger. Roger there?
Yeah, I'm sorry.
Are you for or against?
Yeah, the question is, do you favor this debate topic as we've read it?
The amendment.
The debate topic. For
debate.
Debate
topic, yes.
Okay. You favor this debate topic. Okay.
Clarification, please. This is Dwayne again.
Yes, Dwayne.
Ken, is your point that there never was a motion?
A motion? No.
And we are voting on an amendment, and there was never a motion to amend it?
I can't hear you. You're fading out.
Are we voting on an amendment to some motion that was never made?
No, we agreed to make this motion as a group in Tim's absence, and it was seconded. Okay, that's the motion that this is a subpart of, is that we would like to have a debate. Okay, the current question is, what will be the topic of that debate? How will we phrase that topic? And it is Barbara's amended motion of how that topic should read. You want to read it again, Barbara, for Dwayne's clarification, please? Go ahead and read it.
Yes. What we're voting on now.
No. Just read the topic, please. Read the topic, your amended topic, so that it's clear for everybody. What is the topic of the debate that you've proposed?
Yeah, which is what we're voting on. And it is
what
resolved.
What is it? Do you want to... Yes.
It is resolved. A large plane hit the Pentagon at the official storage place.
That's what we're voting on. Do you agree to that? That should be our debate topic for... Okay, thank you. And a yay says you like it, and a nay says you don't. Okay? So,
Wayne. If vote no.
I'm sorry?
You vote no on the amendment
it means you disagree with this topic, and then we'll just continue to look for a topic. Okay? Yeah.
Excuse me, point of order again, this is Paul. Barbara made an amendment to a main motion, so why aren't we voting on this amendment with the main motion still?
The main motion is to have a debate. The main motion which was seconded and we're still looking at is that we want to have a debate, okay? The secondary motion is that it be this topic, okay, this amended topic, and that's what we're voting on now. If that fails, then we just go back to looking for another topic, or we can reconsider the motion to have a debate. That's all. Okay?
Paul's point is that he thinks we are voting on just my clause that adds the word at the official story place. His point is that we can then, after that, if that is not voted for, we can consider the original proposition, resolve a large plane hit the Pentagon, period.
It's open for consideration, because that means that your amendment fails, and then we go back to the original motion.
Yeah, Barbara's right, though. That's exactly correct. That's what I was trying to say.
Okay, got it. Okay, so...
Right,
now,
so we
Craig,
need to
Craig,
decide
I'll
this,
combine.
Though. Before the vote, people need to understand if we're only voting on my clause at the official story place or not. Are we or not just voting on that clause?
Yeah.
Okay, so it's
at this point. At this point, that's all. At this point, we are voting on that entire title to be accepted for the debate as amended by you.
Voting on the amendment.
The amended title. That's correct. We're voting on whether to accept her amended title as subject for the debate.
I'll drop you off now. I'll go take the show.
Okay. So, sorry. Roger, I guess you were first to say your vote. How would you like to vote,
okay.
Roger?
Thank you. I'm having trouble with that star six. I agree to a debate, and I agree to the amendment.
Okay, thank you. We're just voting in favor of the amended title right now. Who else? Craig, it's your call. You're the
yeah.
secretary.
Dave Schlesinger?
Yes.
Yes.
What?
Barbara?
I'm not.
Oh, yeah, asked. Dave,
you
in favor?
You asking how I vote? Is that what you're asking?
Yes. Yes, sorry.
I abstain.
Abstain, okay. Barbara?
Yes.
Cheryl?
Yes.
Dwayne?
No.
John?
Yes.
John? Yes?
Yes.
Ken?
Come back to me, please, if it's a tie. Otherwise, I won't.
If it's a tie, right. Okay. Ned Delaney?
No.
Wayne Coffey?
Yes.
Dan Hennen? Dan there? Okay. I'll come back to him in case he's star six.
Yeah.
Adam Syed?
No.
Sheila Casey? Sheila?
No.
Okay, Bill Wills. We lose Bill as well? Martin Bruce. Here.
Yes.
Yes. Paul Zaremka?
No.
Okay, no. I'm going to say no, and that means we've got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 no's, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 yeses, and 1 abstention.
Well, then I'll exercise my right to vote and vote no to make it a tie, which means that it fails. So we'll go back.
Hold on, Ken. You said you'd only vote if it's
a tie or if it makes a tie, either one. So that's where I exercise my right. Well, that's Craig understands it. That's how it works. I'm sorry, I wasn't clear about that, but that's how it works. I only exercise my right to vote if it makes a difference. That's what it comes down to. So. Having said that, we go back now to reconsidering the question of a proposed bid debate topic. Would anybody like to be on the stack?
Paul? Yeah, so I proposed the motion that we have on the floor. Simple as that.
Which is what?
That we have
a large plane hit the pentagon.
No, Barbara, no, you don't get to interrupt. Carl, what do you understand to be the motion that you're affirming?
What Barbara just said.
I didn't hear it. Would you
that a large plane hit the Pentagon.
Okay. All right, so Paul would like to propose that. Any second to that?
Second.
Okay. Moved and seconded. Any discussion? Okay. I think it's getting late, so let's just... all in favor, then, of this reconsidered motion resolved, a large plane hit the Pentagon, being the topic of next month's debate, say aye.
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 All opposed?
No.
Okay, motion. Okay.
Aye.
So one or two sessions. Okay. One or two. So we have a debate topic, and now the question is who would like to be in that debate? Who would like to debate that question?
I would, Barbara.
Barbara?
Dwayne,
okay,
I'll join in. Craig?
I'm sorry. Was that Dwayne Dietz?
No,
Dwayne Dietz?
Wayne Coffey.
No.
Wayne Coffey, I'm sorry. Wayne. Okay, so Barbara and Wayne have both volunteered. And Barbara, I take it you would be on the negative on that, and
correct.
Dwayne, you'd be the affirmative, right?
Yes.
Does anybody else feel that they need to be part of this, or can we proceed? Hearing no other volunteers, then Barbara and Wayne will be our debaters on this topic on our next teleconference on December 30th. Whew. Okay. So, where are we at? We are at after time.
The second debate.
No, that's not on the table right now, and we're out of time. We're way out of time. Does anybody have any announcements?
Dave Schlesinger.
Dave Schlesinger.
Barb.
Barb. I'm sorry, you're after Dave. Barb. Go ahead, Dave.
Yeah, I'm just reiterating that we had six people last month who found it interesting that I had discovered that at the King Center in Atlanta, there was no mention of the Memphis civil trial, and we're looking at ways to encourage the King family to include it. It's on the website, but not in the physical location. And is there anybody else who would like to be kept abreast of this effort?
Yeah, I would, Cheryl.
Okay, anybody else?
Yeah, David.
Yes.
Here.
What's that?
Wayne Costi, yes.
Wayne Costi. Okay, Cheryl and Wayne, anybody else?
Yes, Ned Delaney.
Ned Delaney. Very good. Thank you all so much.
Okay, thank you, Dave. And Barbara.
Yeah, there are two really important developments that everybody probably doesn't yet know about. The first is that Nick Harrison, who is one of the lead attorneys in the 9/11 attorneys group, that was originally the idea of Richard Gage, that I'm an official researcher for. He has now completed an amazingly powerful law review article draft that Mike Gravel, of the former Senator Mike Gravel of the famous Pentagon Papers that he read in the Senate committee hearing and got into the congressional record, Mike Gravel has personally taken this to Congress and met with the staffs of all three senators who have read the 28 pages and has had lengthy telephone conversations with Representative Walter Jones, who's leading the House-side effort to get the 28 pages released. There is going to be a major action in January on the floor of the House and or the Senate about this that we expect will force the 28 pages out. And what I will do, I will send you that law review article, Ken, and if you'd like, you can post it, or maybe I should send it to Craig to post on the telephone.
Well, you would have to get approval to send something of that magnitude with the minutes, Barbara.
I don't know what you're saying.
To send something of that magnitude with the minutes, you have to ask permit. You have to ask the approval of the teleconference. You can't just send it and have it.
Can I make a motion to?
Yeah. You can.
What?
Let me be fair about this. If no one has any objections, Barbara's report will be included in the minutes. Does anybody have any objection?
I have none, but I have a question.
Yeah.
I would prefer that it be the final. What is going to actually be published and not some version before the final version?
It is the final version. It's been five months in the drafting and the vetting process.
Okay, so if there's no objection, then the report Barbara's referring to will be attached to our minutes for everyone's reference. Okay, let's see, I would like to just let people know that I have mentioned Dark Journalist before, and he has just recently interviewed who's the father of the deep state? Yes, who?
Oh, Peter Dale Scott.
Thank you, Peter Dale Scott. He just did a very recent interview with Peter Dale Scott, which is just superb and covers a whole lot of bases. I encourage people to go to the Dark Journalist website and listen to this excellent interview, which gets into many deep state topics that will be of interest to people on this call. So having said that, I think we're done with tonight. We'll see you all, I think it's the 30th of December, but in any case, it's the last Wednesday. It's right before New Year's, I believe. And we'll see you then, and we will have our debate on the question that we agreed to tonight. So, see you then.
Merry Christmas.
Happy Thanksgiving.
Thank you.
Bye, everybody.
Good night.